I'm not used to this handheld mic, so I talk with my hands sometimes. That might be a problem. Go ahead and grab your seat if you like. If you want to pack it in, you know, you don't have to sit in your same seat that you're sitting at for the main sessions or whatever. Good morning. Glad to be here. Hope y'all are having a great time. I am. I'm bummed. I had a bunch of different family commitments, and I couldn't be here for the whole weekend. Last year, I was here for the whole weekend. What an awesome time. So I hope you guys are enjoying it. How many guys sat through one of my breakout sessions last year? Raise your hand. Holy cow. Why did you even come back? I mean, if that's not an example of grace that Pete was talking about, I don't know what is. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Well, welcome back for those of you who have been back. I'm glad we could get reacquainted, and this will be my introduction for the rest of you guys. My name is Darren Kinder. I have this speaking ministry called The Valiant Ministries. You can see it up there, I think. And I'm going to have two hands full here. Basically, this is something that I like to do. This is what I really love to do, and I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here just for a short while. My day job, I guess, is I'm a special agent for the U.S. Secret Service, and I have been so for about 17 years. It's been quite a long year, as you can imagine, a campaign year. It's been crazy town USA, and I've been right in the middle of it. So I'm glad to get out in the woods and just be normal for a little bit. I'm a father of four. I have an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, 6-year-old, and a 3-year-old. I should probably learn their names. They're here, and I did something for a fairly big church in Dallas, and we were doing a video to promote it. This is the first time I was sitting in front of a camera to actually produce, and it was really weird, and I'm not used to that. And so I guess I was a little nervous, and we did it. And then a few days later, they sent me a copy, and they said, you know, look at this, review it. Is it good? And I reviewed it, said, yeah, great. And then about a week later, they showed it at their church to promote the event. And a friend of mine at that church called me and said, hey, did you look at that video before they sent it? And I said, of course I did. And he said, well, did you realize how you introduced yourself? And apparently I had said, instead of devoted husband and father of four, I said devoted father and husband of four. And no one caught that in the editing process. So, no, I will not be speaking on polygamy today. I will not be doing that. I'm also, last year, if you were here, I'm also a survivor of the World Trade Center attacks on 9/11. I was in the World Trade Center, and that's a story in and of itself, and that really kind of launched me in the ministry direction. And so that's, maybe I can share that with you another time. But all that being said, I'm just a guy, okay? There's no seminary degrees. There's not a lot of letters after my name. I'm just a guy that the Lord has grabbed hold of me and put a message on my heart, and messages that I have to share. I'd be ashamed not to share because they're from him. Make sense? You are hearing this weekend from one of the finest grace-based New Covenant preachers I have ever heard. Amen? You are. I hope you realize it. You are. I just dive into his stuff. And he is brilliant. And you need to hear from people such as Pete Briscoe a lot, because his message is pure and it is true and it is right. It is right as rain. But you also need to hear just from guys sometimes too, right? And so that you're going to get both perspectives. At the Valiant Ministry, our aim is to encourage men and equip men to live lives of integrity, courage, and compassion. Integrity, courage, and compassion. We are going to see if this clicker works right now. Did it change? Boom. Wow. Good things are happening here. Okay. You're under orders. We get this verse here. This is kind of like the banner verse that we kind of rally around. Okay. And Paul has written to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians. He has ripped them for like 15 chapters, has he not? Okay, he has gone through item by item of all the things you're screwing up. Unlike the Ephesian church, you know, he starts out his letters to the Ephesians like, you guys are awesome and you're loving and I've heard of your faith and you love each other. You know, it's awesome. No, not so with the Corinthians. Boy, he really lays into them. And then at the very end of this letter to the Corinthians, he says this. He says it to the men. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage and be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. So, Valiant Ministries, we identify integrity as simply standing firm in your faith. It's getting easier, right? Has this last year got a lot easier to do that, right? No. No, it hasn't. Being strong, being courageous. And so far, you're like, yeah, that sounds awesome. I'm a man. That sounds good. I can do that. And then the last verse 14, but let everything that you do be done in love. That's where it becomes a little harder. So even the topic we're going to talk about today, we're not really going to talk about integrity, courage, and compassion, okay? At the end, we're always going to end on compassion for your fellow man in the form of grace, because everyone in this room had an F minus. Am I right? I had a really good F minus. So, but first he says, be on the alert. I'm sorry, I'm not used to working with two hands here. Did that click? Did that change? Awesome. He says, be on the alert. Be on the alert for what? Anybody have an idea what Paul might be talking about? Throw it out there. We got a pretty big group here, but the enemy. Who's the enemy? Your neighbor? Yes. I mean, somebody said Satan, and someone else in this room felt uncomfortable that someone said Satan. Let's be honest. So if he makes you feel better to call him the enemy, that's fine. Makes you feel the devil. I'm not preaching hellfire and brimstone here. But all throughout Scripture, there is reference to the prince of darkness, the king of which world? This world. Okay? It's everywhere. So let's not pretend that we're living in a bubble and it doesn't affect us. See, Paul says, stand firm in the faith. He says it 12 times in 8 different books of the Bible. 12 times in 8 different books. Almost every time he says, stand firm in the faith, he is referencing because the enemy is trying to trip you or trying to get you or is out there. Make sense? So my goal is here, 3 or 4 things, okay? Raise our spiritual situational awareness of the world that we live in, equip you as you walk out of here to deal with that real situation, to follow Jesus as he handled that situation, and to do so in a way that's loving, compassionate, and full of grace for the world around you. Does that make sense? So that's what we're going to do. Because you need to understand, if you are a God-fearing man, meaning you fear nothing but the Lord and nothing else, you know that he is the Alpha, the Omega, the creator of all things, and we as his subjects created are down here. If that's you, if you're committed to following Christ in this world as it gets more and more dangerous, if you are committed to sharing the light of Christ with others, taking the light of Christ and going, if you are committed to being the light, sharing the light, discipling young brothers in faith as they come up, if you believe, as I do, in the grace of God, as Pete has been telling you and preaching to you about, then guess what? Someone is trying to take you out. Someone is trying to take you out. Why? Because you're a threat to his little dominion or his little perceived dominion. Make sense? When I'm a Secret Service agent. I work threat, no threat all day. Okay? A week ago, I was at the inauguration. I'm right on the parade route, and I'm assessing people all day, 15 hours, threat, no threat. Once I deem someone not a threat, what do? I move on. I don't care about them. But if you're a follower and believer in Jesus Christ, you're a threat. So let's just wake up to that. And if you think you're above these threats, or that they can't get to you. Come on, guys. All through Scripture it says pride comes before the fall, does it not? Or if you have been tripped up and you have been slayed and you have been tricked one time and another and you have fallen into this and he has taken you out, the grace, the very grace that Pete is preaching to you obliterates that shame, that guilt, does it not? Knowing that you have the A+, does it not? So whether you have pride, whether you have shame, the grace obliterates both. Okay, so first we need to set the table. Why is he out for you? Okay, why is this an issue? Let's go back to the beginning. Let's set the table really quick. Genesis 1, God creates the world. God creates everything. He creates Adam. He commands him to multiply, subdue the earth, correct? Take dominion over all things. Okay, and we have dominion over all things because we are made in the image of God, mankind, I'm talking about, right? Okay, so that's how it all started. Then in Genesis 2, God gives Adam a job. He gives him responsibility before whom? Before Eve is created. He says, boom, I'm going to put you in the garden. I want you to work it and to keep it. Now, if you have your Bibles out, I'm going to ask some of you to read every now and then. Can someone look up Genesis 2, chapter verse 15? Easy for me to say, right? Okay? And let me know when you got it. Raise your hand when you got it. Genesis 2, chapter 15. We got it right here, sir. Say it loud and proud, sir. We're talking about the Word of God. Cultivated it, okay? Some says to work it, but it means to cultivate, to build, to invest, to grow, right? God, man, that's our, Christian men, that's our job. That was the first job we've ever been given. What God has given us, we are to cultivate it, to grow it, to work it. It also says, well, I want you to work it and to keep it. Different translations use different words. Some say watch over it. Some versions say protect it. Are we there yet? Okay, I'm having trouble looking up there. Is B up there yet? I can't see. Boom. Okay. All right. I'm just gonna go with it. Okay. All of these are done before Eve is even created. In verse 16, the very next verse, God tells them the one thing he's not supposed to do, not supposed to eat from the tree of knowledge. Before who? Before who was created? Eve. Okay? So responsibility or burden, however you view it, right? Responsibility, the burden falls on you. He calls us the head of the family, the head of the spiritual head of the family, okay? If you have a family, whatever your sphere of influence is. And so the reason that we're in trouble or at risk, because if you take out the head, there's a good chance you take out the family. Am I right? So we need to be aware of that. Again, we're just raising our situational awareness. Okay? I'm gonna stop right here. I'm not trying to scare anybody. We're not talking about the boogeyman or anything, because what we're gonna do, we've been given everything and anything to handle this. I'm just trying to raise our awareness. That makes sense? Okay? Because the Bible is demons and the enemy and Satan can't even stand in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? So let's not make this thing bigger than it is. But let's be aware of it, okay? There's a huge difference between paranoid and prepared, right? We're not looking under the bed at night with our flashlight, all right, looking for the boogeyman or Chuck Norris or whatever in the closet, okay? No, there's a difference between paranoid and prepared. We're talking about being prepared, okay? So it strikes me in Nehemiah 4. I'll bring it up. Bam. Nehemiah 4, I just love this image, okay? Nehemiah has asked for permission to leave, to go back to his homeland, to take some people back and rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, okay? And he has been granted that permission, and he goes back, and he's kind of the governor there as these exiled people have come back, and they're building the wall. Now, these people come to them outside the wall, and they say, look, your enemies are staging, your enemies are preparing. They're not going to let you just move back in. Okay? And look at Nehemiah 4. This is Nehemiah. Then I stationed men. I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall. Which places? The exposed places. I stationed the people and their families with their swords and their spears and their bow. When I saw their fear, I rose and I spoke to the nobles. I spoke to the officials and to the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And I love this. Can you imagine? It's like a scene out of a Mel Gibson movie, right? Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers. Fight for your sons, your daughters, your wives, your homes. Who's Nehemiah speaking to? Man, he's speaking to you, speaking to me. Okay? So if you ever need a reason to raise your little situational awareness, a reason to be alert, a reason to be prepared spiritually, remember what you're fighting for. It could be your grandchildren, whatever phase of life you're in. It could be your grandchildren, could be your kids, could be your kid going off to college, could be your kid learning how to walk. Could be your nephew. Maybe you're not, you don't have your own kids yet. Defend what we have been given. One more bit on this. Headship, we're not gonna camp out here. I want to get to the message here. I think Matt Chandler did a really good, really concise explanation of this. He says that headship is the unique leadership of men in the work of establishing order for human flourishing. He has a sermon series called Beautiful Design. If you're making notes, write down Beautiful Design. It's a sermon series by Matt Chandler. It's really awesome. It's like, you know, four or five sermons. Really awesome. He basically says that humanity flourishes when men step into the role and the responsibility that God has given them, okay? Another guy, Robert Lewis, famously said that boys take. When you're a little boy, you take, take, take. When you're a man, you're supposed to give life. You give life to those around us, not just consume for our own selfish desires. We work, we cultivate, we protect. What's important? Is it all up there? Is number two up there? I might have to move out here a little bit. These are dignified ways of service. Dignified ways of service to God. It's the first job he gave us. Okay, so we all on board with that? Okay, I know I just blew through that. Let's get to this. So, know the situation. We'll do that first. What happened there? Oh, there it is. Oh, guys, sorry. Always ready. Semper paratus. Semper paratus. This is the slogan, if you will, of the United States Coast Guard. Semper paratus, and it means always ready. Okay? I've trained a lot with the Coast Guard over the years in my full-time job, and I am impressed by these guys. If there's any Coasties in here, there you go. Semper paratus. I know you'd be shouting right now if you were here. Always ready, okay? Now, if we're guys, right? So if we want to talk about the physical world, okay, to keep, protect your family, your loved ones, like Nehemiah was talking about, Nehemiah 4. We could talk about this all day, couldn't we? Okay? Talk about the physical realm here. Raise your hand. What's one way you could protect what the Lord has given you? Raise your hand. Yes, sir. Being a man of God, okay? What else? I'm talking about in the physical world. We're not getting spiritual yet. All right, you provide. What else? Shotgun. There you go. 12 gauge. What else? Love. Okay. How else can we protect our family here in the physical realm? Not talking spiritual. Yeah, in the back. An alarm system. Absolutely. Who has an alarm system? I have an alarm system. I'm gone a lot. Okay. What's that? There you go. Okay? So, yes, sir. Lucy. Oh, your dog? Lucy is a vicious poodle? Is that what you're saying? All right. That's not where I was going, but... Okay. Noisy poodle, okay? How about just knowing the situation around you? Okay? Guys, you want to get dark real fast. You know, like have a five-minute conversation with a Secret Service agent about situational awareness, okay? It's kind of a dark place to live, okay? But on the street, as you're walking down the street, you know, what could harm me here? What couldn't harm me here? What's going to harm my family? Is that a weird car? Why is that weird car passed three times through my cul-de-sac? Okay? Hey, let me tell you something. More likely than not, your wife's not going to notice it. But are you? It just happened yesterday. A car, just there's something weird about it, never seen it before, going through my alleyway in Dallas. I went right as I was walking home from taking my kids to school, and I walked right through my backyard, went out to the alley. I'm looking for that car. What's that car up to? Okay, well, turns out he was offloading lumber to one of my neighbors. Okay, no harm, no foul, right? Whoops. Sitting at the restaurant, right? How many guys you have to see the door, be able to see the front door when you're sitting at a restaurant? Right? Now, does your wife know that about you? Yeah, and she knows what seat to sit in now, right? That's a great thing. And when she slips and, I mean, if we go out with friends and someone takes the spot that you can't see the door, my wife just watches me squirm. She loves it. Yeah. My wife knows that if any stranger comes up to me and starts speaking to me and it becomes apparent that we know each other, meaning maybe I arrested that person before, or that person is just weird and this may go bad and I don't want my kids and my family, we have a code. Honey, why don't you take the kids to go get some ice cream? Right? Now, are the kids going to go? Heck yeah, they want ice cream. But that's our code. That's our between me and my wife. She knows, okay, kids, let's go get some ice cream. Whether it's inside the house or whether you're out at the mall or whatever, she's removing them from a possible bad situation. Make sense? Okay. We're constantly scanning for threats and opportunities, like that old stagecoach driver, right? You know, you got the shotgun guy. That's where it all started from, right? One guy riding on top of stagecoach. One guy has a shotgun. Are they out just saying, man, this is beautiful. Isn't the American West beautiful? No. They're looking for threats. Or they're looking for opportunities. Good place to settle down, build a ranch, or, you know, what kind of territory are we in here? Okay? This is all stuff. Guys, we could talk about this forever, right? Yeah, we could. Okay? I love this quote. Did the red quote come up there? Yeah. Look for trouble before trouble comes looking for you. Okay? Look for trouble. Here, I'm going to... Is this going to work? Let's see if this works. Hello, trouble. Now, this is a minute, 1 minute, 30-second commercial. It's a commercial for a knife, okay? It's a knife. It's a really cool commercial. Don't get caught up in that. Think of changing your spiritual situation awareness as it comes to things of the spiritual realm, as it comes to the enemy, as it comes to you being a threat to the kingdom of darkness, right? Think of that as you're watching this commercial. But at the end of the day, it's just a knife commercial, okay? All right, is this going to work? Let's find out. Oh, it didn't happen. What happened? Can you do that back there, Jason? If you can't, it's no biggie. There we go. Oh, yeah. I'll be quiet.
Hello, trouble.
Hello, trouble.
It's been a while since we last met. But I know you're still out there. And I have a feeling you're looking for me. I'd forget you.
Gonna hold my body down.
Don't you trouble.
Going down the river, Gabriel. Put your foot on the line and see. Gabriel, don't you blow that trumpet till you hear from me. Ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down.
Perhaps it is you that has forgotten me. Perhaps I need to come find you. Remind you who I am.
Is Is that not a cool commercial? The greatest tool ever invented is a knife. You got to have one. Anyways, no, I'm not selling knives. I think that just speaks to our situational awareness. Looking for trouble before trouble comes looking for us. Know the situation, okay? I'm a basketball coach. I tell my kids during a timeout, hey, in the fourth quarter, know the situation. You're winning by 5. There's 42 seconds left. You don't need to do anything fast. Everybody, right? You know? You got to remind kids of the situation. Peter tells us the situation, and what is it? That there's a roaring lion out there. He says, be alert and sober of mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So that's the situation. Okay, we've covered that. We've covered this, that this is what we've talked about, that you are a threat. Okay? We're in the business of threat, no threat, and he has deemed us a threat. Okay? That physical stuff, the shotgun and the poodle and the this and that. Guys, we could talk about that all day, right? Oh, we'd have a great old time. But that's talking about something that's probably not ever going to happen. Probably. If it ever does, I hope you're ready. And I hope can we agree? Wherever we live, that's probably not going to happen. This, the spiritual realm of this, happens every day. Does it not? Multiple times a day. So let's spend our time focused on that. We talked about this. We've already mentioned this quote, although this completes the quote, but resist firm in your faith. So number one, we need to raise our spiritual situational awareness. So number one, now we're more aware. Okay? Now let's equip. You are equipped. Reliance upon the Lord, the Holy Spirit, for this battle. Okay? You're equipped with the Word of God. You are equipped. For example, Romans 8:31 describes the love of Christ in the previous passages. And then Romans 8:31 says, if this is the God who's for us, who can stand against us? Amen? Psalms 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. What I'm trying to say is, if you're trying to live this spiritual realm, if you're trying to go into battle on your own wits and your own knowledge and your own strength, you're setting yourself up for a fall. I've been there. I've done it. Look at this. Let this psalm saturate. Let's shift the mindset. Instead of being scared and defensive, now we're prepared and offensive. This is the God who is for you that David is writing about here in Psalm 144. Here he is. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I take refuge. Whew. That's the God that's on your side. That's the God that never leaves. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, unwavering, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He has trained you up. Every negative circumstance you have ever had in your life was training. It's an opportunity given to you by the Lord to mature you in your faith for purposes you may not even be aware to yet, right? It's all training. It's hard to see, but he's training us up. My loving kindness and my fortress. Men, fortresses are not a place to hide, right? Fortresses are a place to what? Place to fight. Okay, in my job, we have these armored, big sheets of armor stands here that we put in different places sometimes when we travel to defend an area. Anyways, I'm not going to get any more detailed than that. But they're big armored stands. Do you know what we call them? We call them fighting stands. I'm going to get behind that thing. I'm going to Okay? We don't call them hiding stands. No, they're fighting stands. They're not hiding stands. The Lord is our fortress, our rock, our stronghold, my deliverer. Deliverer means we win. Why? Because he won. Did he not? He wins. My shield, and he in whom I take refuge. The Lord is our power. The Lord is our strength. Okay? Pete was like saying there's no room for boasting in the new covenant, right? As far as to my knowledge, the only time that Paul boasts in any of his letters is when he's boasting about what? He says, I brag about what I'm awful at. I brag about my weaknesses because when I am weak, God's strength is revealed. I'm paraphrasing here, obviously, right? I love that. It's his strength. Can y'all look up some, did those verses come up? Titus 2, 11 and 12. Can somebody read that? Let me know when you're there. Titus 2, 11 and 12. Somebody else look up Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. Someone else look up Colossians 1, 29. Are those on the screen? Sorry, we got an awkward screen situation here. Acts 1, 8 is when the Holy Spirit comes down and enters the followers of Christ. Okay? Somebody there at Titus 2, 11 and 12? Raise your hand if you got it. All you got to do is speak loud and proud. Yes, sir. The grace of God, thank you. The grace of God has appeared before us, teaching us, instructing us to live godly and upright lives. Right? What's that? What is that? What's he talking about? It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus, right? Jesus lives, has taken up residence in our heart, has he not? That's the power and that's the strength and that's the wisdom that we call upon. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. Who's got it? Yes, sir. He's talking about the power that dwells within all believers, and it's the power of resurrection. Are you kidding me? Is that pretty powerful? Dead to life. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean we're out there raising people from the dead. Don't get me wrong. But that's the power that lives within us. You see how we're not drawn from our own wits and our own strength. We're drawn from the strength of the Lord. Who else we got? Well, Colossians 1, 29. Go ahead. Who's got it? Yeah, go ahead. That Christ so powerfully works in me. He talks about that strength, that power being mighty. That's the power that lives within us. Amen? Okay? We're not going into this fight empty-handed. You kidding me? We got more than brass knuckles. All right, here's what else we got. Okay? We can look to whom? Jesus. His weapon. Jesus was tempted how many times? Shout it out. Three times. What did he use to defeat those temptations? The Word of God. Now, there's this great, I'm a history geek. Any other history geeks in here? Yeah, you raise your hand, man. All right. Stephen Ambrose wrote a great book, Citizen Soldiers. It takes up just after D-Day, okay? He tells a story. these soldiers, there's an army unit that was a day or two after D-Day. They just gotten off of Omaha Beach. And now they're entering their first French town that they're gonna occupy. Well, the advance comes to a stop, like before it even starts. Brigadier General Dutch Cota is angry, and he marches up. Brigadier General marches up to the front and says, "Hey, what the heck's going on here?" Captain Hism says, "Well, so this town, this house on the edge of town, there's Germans in it, and they're shooting at us." And General Cota's like, "Okay, you come with me." He grabs these two guys. He says, "You guys give us covering fire." They run up, these three guys run up to this house. The general starts throwing grenades in the window, runs around to the front door, waits for the bangs to go off. General Cota kicks in the front door, goes in, pop, 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 pop. Germans start running out of the back of the house, and they start shooting them all down. And then the door opens, and the general comes walking out. And he walks over to the captain, and he says, "That's how you take a house." And then he says, "You know, I'm not going to be here every time. Do you get it?" The enemy encounters Jesus three times in Matthew's gospel. Jesus shows us how to take a house, does he not? Does he not? He says, "You're hungry. You've been starving for 40 days. How about you just turn this rock into bread?" Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 8. Man cannot live on bread alone. He says, "I'm going to take you up here. Jump off the top of this high temple here so the angels can come down and rescue you if you're so hot." He quotes Deuteronomy 6, "Do not test the Lord." And then he says, "Hey, climb this high mountain. See everything that you see? I'll give it to you if you bow down and worship me." Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 6 again and says, "I will only worship the Lord my God." Right? Jesus shows us how to take a house, does he not? What is it? It's the sword of God. The sword in Ephesians 6 is what? The word of God. If you read Ephesians 6, everything that Paul's describing, the breastplate and the belt and the helmet of salvation, all those are defensive things. He gets the sword. The sword is the only one that is offensive and defensive. Make sense? And he says that the sword is the word of God. So we have the word of God. And we have Jesus who has shown us how to take a house. Now I'm going to wrap up here in 1 minute. Here we go. Did the fourth one come up? Sorry, guys. Our fight is not against people. This is where the grace comes in. Our fight is not against people, rather the kingdom of darkness. Okay? When I'm standing firm in the faith and I am fighting the good fight, as Paul says, in this kingdom of darkness, in this world, I am not berating people. I am not hating people. You will not find me. You will find me standing firm against gay marriage, but you will not find me screaming obscenities at people as they walk to the courthouse. I will stand firm that life begins at conception. However, I will not stand out of an abortion clinic and scream obscenities at people. No. I will say, "Hey, there's a better way." That creature inside of you, that life, wants to be loved by God, is loved by God. That person in my congregation who has an affair, I will not put a red scarlet letter on their chest. I will go to him, as Pete was talking about, or I'll go to her. And I will give grace. We all know people who have fallen. We're not battling against people, okay? Paul says in 2 Corinthians, follow me here, "For the weapons of our warfare, not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." So we're destroying strongholds, right? Do we destroy people? We destroy other sinners? No, I don't see that. "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." That's compassion. That's grace. That's a man who has accepted the grace that God has given. That's a man who had the F minus and says, "Yes, now I have an A plus, not of my own doing, not that I'm going to boast, and now I can go and I can give grace to others. I can stand firm on what the Bible says. I can stand firm on the truth. I can stand firm in my faith, but I can do it in a compassionate way. I can wield the word of God, the sword, but I can do it in a compassionate way. I will attack the ideas. I will not attack the person." Make sense? Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword." There's a lion out there. Jesus also describes him as a thief that wants to kill and destroy and steal. You want to go out there walking around, there's a lion out there without a double-edged sword. Could you use a double-edged sword? I could. So here we are. Semper paratus, the valiant, always ready. You're ready. You know the situation. You're equipped. You're armed with the Word of God. You're equipped, more importantly, by the Holy Spirit that lives within you. You know how to take a house because Jesus has showed you how to take a house. And you know what the enemy is, that the enemy is Satan and every lofty opinion held against the knowledge of the God. You know that you can do it with compassion. Amen. Therefore, you can keep calm and be alert. Thank you, man. That's all I have for you today. Always ready. Thank you.